Well, if you have your Bibles, you can open up to Ephesians chapter 4, as once again we're continuing through our series through Ephesians. Last week we started a new series. If you weren't with us, we finished the old series, Extending His Kingdom, and kicked off a new series titled In the Light. And last week, as we kicked off this series, we talked about God's desire for us to be in the light. Because it's in the light that the darkness is exposed. It's in the light that God sheds light on those dark areas of our life and enables us to deal with them. And God's desire is to expose those areas in our life so that we can deal with them and experience His freedom from them. Because so often we hold on to those things. So often we keep them and they end up holding us captive. They end up making us a slave to those things and the darkness and sin in our life. And if you weren't here last week, I just want to encourage you to go on the website and to listen to last week's sermon. I had numerous people comment about how last week's message impacted their life. And so I would encourage you, just go onto the website, dallas4.com, all spelled out. Up on the upper right corner, there's sermons. Click on that, and you can listen to it right off the sermon page. You can just right there hit play, and it'll play right from there. Or you can actually, if you're into the podcasting, and you can subscribe to the podcast where every week's message will download up to your iTunes or however. And people that know how to do that, you know what I'm talking about. So you can subscribe to the podcast or just listen to it there. But I shared a little bit of my testimony last week. And I think that it was one of those messages that I think really defines who God has called us to be as a church. God's desire for us to be a church that has the open arms of those that have failed, those that have struggled, that this is a safe place that you can come with no condemnation and allow God to work in your life in the way that He needs to work. And so I just think it was a pivotal message last week, and if you didn't get to listen to it, I encourage you to go and check that out. And so this week we're jumping right back in here into Ephesians 4 verses 20 through 24. So if you have your Bibles, you can follow along with me as I read. It says this, it says in verse 20, it says, "You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of Him and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on, the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." If you were with us last week in the previous scriptures, before we get into verse 20 here, Paul is talking about the immoral lives of the Gentiles. Now, he's talking to Gentiles, but he's talking about there's two different Gentiles that they refer to. There was the Gentile in the ethnic sense, because you were either a Jew or a Gentile, or there was the Gentile in the sense of the immoral life that they lived, the Gentiles that had not become believers and that were still living that immoral life, oblivious to the Lord and oblivious to the things of God. He talked about how their hearts had become hardened and they were ignorant of the ways of the Lord. And so Paul starts off here. So that was 17 through 19, kind of talking through that stuff. And so Paul starts off these verses here now by saying this. He says, "You, however, you did not come to know Christ that way," he says. You're different, okay? We're talking about these Gentiles. We're talking about the life of the Gentiles, but that's not who you are. You are different. I love the way Eugene Peterson paraphrases this in the Message. This is how he says it in the Message. He says, "But that's no life for you." So all these things he was talking about, the Gentile life, he says, "That's no life for you," okay? You learned about Christ. You learned the ways of Christ, is what he said. He goes on in verse 21 to say, "Surely you heard of Him," Jesus, "and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus Christ." So Paul here, in a sense, is saying that you are followers of Christ, aren't you? Haven't you said that you're a believer? Haven't you said that you are a follower of Christ? If so, then you have learned the way of Christ. You have learned the right way to live. And so as followers of Christ, you should live differently. This is the title of my message today. Live differently. God's desire is that we would be people who are in the light, and that as those things are exposed, we begin to live differently, live our lives different for Him. When people look at the life of a believer, it should be different than that of the life of an unbeliever. That's what Paul is saying here. Paul says, you were taught in Him, okay? And the word taught here implies a level of learning or knowledge that you've gained in Him, in Christ, right? A couple of weeks ago, we talked about spiritual maturity. We talked about God's desire for us to grow in Him, right? God's desire to grow in the knowledge of Him. And Paul is pointing out the fact that if you've learned anything about following Jesus, if you've grown at all in your understanding of Christ, then you should know that if you call yourself a believer, you should live like a believer. You should live different than the Gentiles. John Calvin said it this way. He says, "He whose life differs not from that of unbelievers has learned nothing of Christ." I'll say that again. He whose life differs not from that of unbelievers has learned nothing of Christ. My translation, if you're still living the way you lived before you became a Christian, then you've learned nothing about following Jesus. You've learned nothing of the way of God's desire for your life, because our lives should be different. Our lives should be different. People should look at us, and our lives should be different from the non-believer to the believer. Paul goes on here in Ephesians to tell the Ephesians what they've been taught. He begins to tell them, here's the things that you've been taught. And he begins to lay out for them really a blueprint of how to live the way God desires them to live. Paul points out three things that we're taught, three things we must do to live differently. And I'm going to give you those three things this morning. The three things we must do to live differently. We see Paul begin here in verse 22. He says this. He says, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off the old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires." The first thing we must do to live differently, number one, we must put off our old self. We must put off our old self. The first thing we must do as new believers, as we come into the body of Christ, is we must shed the old life. The picture here is literally the picture of taking off dirty garments, right? Taking off dirty clothes. Just like when you're out exercising and sweating, and you come back in and your clothes are gross and smelly and dirty, okay? To get rid of that smell, to get rid of that, you have to take it off, right, and get rid of it, okay? Throw it in the wash. Do something with it, right? Get it off of you. And that's this picture that Paul is saying here. We must remove the dirty clothes. We must remove those things from our life. We must take off the old. And one of the ways that we do this is through repentance. One of the ways we do this is through repentance. It's coming to the realization that we're sinners. That our rags are dirty, our clothes are dirty, and we need a Savior. We need a Savior in our lives. Romans 6:6 says, "For we know that our old self was crucified with Him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin," that it would be done away with. The old self was crucified with Christ. We no longer need to be a slave to it. We need to get rid of it. Because if we don't, we're going to fall into those temptations. We're going to fall into those patterns. We need to get rid of it. You know, this is what we touched on last week, how sometimes we hold on to our old self, right? Sometimes we hold on to those things. We want the new. I want this life in Christ, right? But I don't want to get rid of this stuff. I kind of like some of this stuff. We want both, right? I have two little ones you see running around the church from time to time here. Toby, 9 years old, and Emma, 9 years old, about the exact same height as Toby. I mean, 7 years old, excuse me, about the same height as my nine-year-old. Toby and Emma, 9 and 7 years old, and I love my kids dearly. And Emma, she is our little hoarder. She likes to hoard anything and everything, and I mean anything. I'm talking like the backing of a sticker. She wants to save. She hoards and wants to save everything. In Newburgh, she liked to collect things. So Stacy gave her a drawer in the kitchen. There was a small little bottom drawer in the kitchen that she had given to Emma. One of the things Emma started collecting, many of you, you know, we get those, they're not even really newspapers. They're the little ads that come in the plastic bag that they throw up on your, you know, on your sidewalk or on your driveway or whatever. And Emma loved to collect those. She would grab those. She wouldn't even pull them out. She would leave them in the plastic bag, and she would store them in that drawer. And Stacy one time went to look for something in the drawers and, you know, not realizing she was pulling into the drawer that's Emma's drawer. And she opens up and it's like all these newspapers just coming out of it. And she's like, Emma. And so she's like telling her, you can't fit anymore in here. You can't, you know, whatever. So then we're cleaning her room and we find newspapers underneath her dresser and we find stuff. And then we find things like popped bubble wrap. Not even fresh bubble wrap. Bubble wrap that has already now been popped. There's no more fun in it, and she puts it underneath her dresser and hides it underneath things and in places, and she's a hoarder. She doesn't want to get rid of anything, and she is very creative, and I will say, like, craft-wise, she'll find those things and use them for different craft stuff, very creative in that way, but she's a little hoarder. She wants to keep everything, every little thing. She doesn't want to get rid of anything, and so, you know, it's bad enough about things that really have no value, okay, but this year at Christmas, my kids get spoiled by their Grammy and Grandpa, their Papa and Gigi, their aunts and uncles. They, you know, they get spoiled. It's great for us. We don't spend money at Christmas. We don't have to. Our kids get all this, you know. We spend one, like, present for some special little thing for our kids that has meaning and stuff. But we don't have to buy presents for our kids because they get spoiled by the grandpas and aunts and uncles. And as we've downsized here, coming from Newburgh to here, and they have smaller rooms, and just trying to clean out the clutter, because my daughter, she hoards and keeps everything, and we're trying to clean stuff out. We kind of said, and Toby's good for the most part. He went with it. Oh, yeah, sure, Dad, no problem. But with Emma, we talked about how, okay, if you're going to be getting new things at Christmas time, you're going to be getting new presents and new toys, we don't have a lot of room. We need to get rid of some toys if you're going to get the new toys. And Emma struggled with this. She'd be like, no, but I play with, no, but I, you know, all these things as we're trying to work through and get rid of these things. And it was hard work we basically just said, it's happening, Emma, and you can either choose or we're just going to go in there and start choosing for you. But it was such a difficult thing. And I think, you know, this is a great illustration of us at times, right? It's that same thing that we don't want to get rid of anything. We want the new life, but we want to hold on to the old life as well. We're afraid that we might miss it. If I give it up, I might miss it. We're afraid we can't live without it. But the truth is this, what I've come to learn and realize is that you will never truly live until you get rid of it, until you get rid of the old self. Because as long as you have it, you'll be a slave to it. You got to get rid of it. Paul knows this. Paul knows this. He understands this. And that's why he's telling the Ephesians, put off the old self. You need to get rid of it. You need to give it a proper burial if you need to. Whatever you need to do, bury it, but be done with it and move on. If we want to live differently, we must put off the old self. Verse 23 then goes on to give us the second thing that we must do to live life differently. Verse 23, it goes into saying, it says, be made new in the attitude of your minds. And the second thing is this, is that we must be made new in our minds. We must be made new in our minds. When I read this scripture and as I was studying and preparing, the Lord took me right away to Romans 12:2, and some of you are familiar with that scripture, maybe not by the reference of the name, but when I say it, you'll go, oh yeah, I remember that scripture. But Romans 12:2 says, do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but what? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind. Once we come to the realization that we've all sinned, we've all fallen short of the glory of the Lord, we repent, right? We shed off the old. But then what really makes us different? What makes us different from that day forward as we begin to move on from the day before? I've confessed my sins, but how am I going to stop living the way that I did live up to this point? How am I going to start living differently? Well, it's realizing that I know that I'm a sinner, and now that I know the consequences of sin in my life, my thought process needs to change, right? My mind needs to be made new, and it's coming to that realization, understanding that we need to be made new in our minds so that I no longer think the way the world thinks. Because up to this point, we've been like the Gentiles, thinking in the ways of the world. But I need to be made new so I no longer think the way the world thinks, so I no longer process the way the world processes, but instead I begin to think and process in the ways of Christ. That I begin to think and process in the ways of the Lord and begin to grow in understanding and my knowledge of His Word and His truth. This is the truth right here, and it's becoming understanding that and allowing that to get into our minds. And this kind of change, this kind of transformation can only happen one way. It can only happen through the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. First week, I talked about the power. If you remember, if you were here that first Sunday, that they would receive power when the Holy Spirit fell upon them. It can only happen through the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. When we give our lives fully to Jesus and we allow Him complete access, okay, not just this part or this part, but no, when we allow Him complete access of our lives, when we do that, it allows the Holy Spirit to transform us by the renewing of our minds. It allows the Holy Spirit to come in to our life, and here's the thing, to change us from the inside out. Because here's the thing, a lot of times we get it backwards, right? A lot of times we try to say, okay, well, let me change the outside first and get the outside looking good, and then we'll begin to work on the inside. But that's not the way it works. And if you try it that way, you're going to fail time and time again. We must be changed through the power of the Holy Spirit from the inside out, putting on and being transformed in our new minds. Verse 24 gives us the third thing. It says, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. The third thing that we must do to live life differently is we must put on the new self. And I've come to the understanding that this is at the point of us really learning to walk it out, really learning to live it out in our lives, to not just talk the talk, but to begin to truly walk the walk, begin to truly follow Him. You see, the new self is that outward expression of the inward change that's taking place in our lives. When we put on that new, it's putting on that new mindset, and it's beginning to walk it out and live out the life that God has for us. It's living out and fulfilling God's mission for our lives. But here's what I was saying about the fact that I think a lot of times we get it backwards. I think a lot of times we put on this appearance of the new self. We put on this appearance of the new self, but on the inside, things haven't changed. On the inside, things are still the same. It's like I talked about last week. The fact that everyone thought I was this perfect church kid, right? Everyone thought I was this perfect church kid, when in reality, on the inside, I was all messed up, just looking for answers, but failing to see real change in my life, failing to really allow God to change me from the inside out. God's desire is that we wouldn't be this fake facade. We wouldn't be these people that, as we're driving to church, we're yelling at each other, we're telling our kids to shut up or whatever it may be, we're this and that, and then when we drive in the parking lot and when the doors open, all of a sudden there's this smile and, oh, hello, hello, and we're all, look at me and my beautiful family. Can't you see we're perfect and everything's right and everything's good? And I'm not saying we're there, I'm there, we're that's been me and my family before, all right? But it's just a facade. I love the fact that God's desire for us is to be a place that's authentic, that we can walk in and be real and say, you know what, I'm having a tough day because things haven't been going good. You know what, I had a fight on my way to church this morning with my wife. You know, I didn't. I'm not saying that for real. I don't drive. My wife doesn't drive with me, so that's how we've settled that. I just drive to church by myself, so that way we don't fight anymore on the way to church. But you know, that's the way the enemy works. But we so often put on this facade that everything's okay. But is there real change happening on the inside? Has God really doing a change and a work in our life? To truly live life differently, it takes the willingness to walk through these steps, to walk through these things that we've talked about up here on the screen, putting off the old self, saying goodbye to the things of the world. Now, does that mean that we're never going to fail again? No. We're going to make mistakes, but that our heart and desire is to live our lives right. Our heart and desire is to seek Him, to glorify Him, to love Him, to put off the old self, and then allowing God to make our minds new and completely change us from the inside out, giving Him access to our life, allowing the Holy Spirit to come in and move. And that's a difficult thing. I've been talking with my kids a little bit about the Holy Spirit and allowing the Holy Spirit to work in us, and it's a hard thing to grasp at times, but it's that trust of saying, okay, Lord, I'm giving You my life. And it's amazing the things that happen when we trust the Lord and allow Him to move in our lives. Things that at one time were huge struggles become easy to walk away from and easy to step out of. It's something amazing that happens. It's supernatural. That's why it's hard for us to explain, because it's a supernatural thing when we allow the power of the Holy Spirit to move in our lives. But if we truly want to live different lives, it's what we have to do, so that then we can know with confidence that we haven't just put on a new facade, right? But that we've truly put on the new self, that we're truly living the life that God's called us to live, that we are truly living in the light. Because as we continue to live in that light, as we continue to walk through these things, our lives will be different. And people will look at us and say, what is different about you? And it's in those opportunities that we get to share the love of Jesus with them. It's in those opportunities that we get to let the Spirit flow through us in ways that changes lives, that extends His kingdom. So it's all together, being in the light, allowing God to move in our lives to extend His kingdom. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word today. And Lord, we just pray that You would allow Your word to penetrate our hearts. Lord, that You would allow us to be people that put off the old self. Lord, we've probably done it numerous times and put it right back on. And Your desire is that we would take it off and leave it off, that we'd get rid of it completely. Lord, help us to do that. Help us to seek You, Lord. Help us to walk in true repentance, Lord Jesus, to truly completely turn our lives around. That's what repentance is, Lord, as we turn our lives around and head back to You. The problem is so often as we're heading to You, we find ourselves again making that turn back in the other direction. And Lord, I just pray that You help us to completely put off the old, to seek You and to allow You to begin to renew our minds. Lord, those things of the old, the garbage that has come in to our lives, Lord, we've heard that term, garbage in, garbage out, Lord, that we need to be filling our lives with the truth. We need to be filling our lives with You. So as Your word says, even at the end, that we can walk in Your righteousness and holiness, Lord Jesus. And it only comes through You. We can't do it on our own. Lord, that's that facade that I talked about. When we try to do it on our own, when we try to make ourselves something, Lord, it's just a facade. But Lord, we want to truly put on the new as we seek you and allow your Spirit to transform us from the inside out. That, Lord, the beauty begins to shine from the inside and work its way to completely change and allow us to put on that new, Lord. That's our heart. That's our desire, Lord. Draw us into that. Teach us that, Lord. I know this is a journey that we're all on of learning how do we truly put off the old? How do we truly have our minds transformed? How do we truly put on the new, Lord Jesus? Continue to challenge us. Continue to teach us. Help us to walk through these things, Lord. And when we fail, help us just to get back up, to realize our mistakes, and to keep moving forward, Lord Jesus. That's my prayer. That's my desire, Lord, for me, for everyone in this room, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Lord gave me a picture. Took me back to my sophomore year in high school, and I remember this picture of, I think it was my special thing for my aunt. I can't remember what it was. We were down in San Francisco, and I had this sweater. And at this time, I thought I was cool. It was a nice, cool, awesome sweater. All sorts of weird colors. It was like turquoise and black and white and really cool. But I remember now, in years past, as I've looked back at that sweater, I've thought, what was I thinking, you know? And many of us have looked back at pictures thinking, what was I wearing? But as the Lord gave me this picture, I just want to say this. Sometimes we put on that new clothes and it looks good, and it's a good thing. But we keep it on too long. And what I mean by that is sometimes what once was new can become old. It needs to be taken off and been gotten rid of. And I guess what I want to say this morning is I want us to be careful of not getting caught up in the comfort of the Christian life. Because I was living the Christian life 3 or 4 years ago, doing youth group, doing the things, and I wasn't a bad person in any ways. But I remember God just shook my world up and said, okay, are you just going to keep going through the motions of living your life for me, or are you going to lay down your life and follow me? And that journey has taken me through all different things, and it's brought me here to Dallas, Oregon. And the realization that so often we can think, I'm living my life for the Lord, but in reality we're just being comfortable and just going through the motions. And that's not God's desire for our life. God's desire is that every day we would shed the old, and every day we would put on that new. And if it's a 1970s, 80s, 90s sweater that you're still wearing, maybe it's time to take it off and to see what, Lord, what are you challenging me in? How are you challenging me to step out and to truly live the life that you've called me to live? Because that's the struggle at times with the Christian walk, is that we're Christians, we're good. To realize that in our own complacency and in our own comfort, we can be failing to really live the life that God's called us to live. And he's called us to be salt and light in this world and to live differently, to be set apart, it says. So I encourage you, if maybe today the biggest thing is just, okay, Lord, maybe I need to fully reevaluate my life. Take off that sweater that once was cool, but maybe it's not so cool anymore. Take that for what it's worth. That's the picture the Lord gave me, and the Lord just challenged me that we can get comfortable, we can get complacent, and it's in those things that keep us from truly living the life that God's called us to live. It's what keeps us from truly being that light to the world around us. And that's God's desire for our life. Amen? Amen. I encourage you today to walk out those doors and to live differently.